Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
You know, when I began radio a number of years back, one of the things I used to do was play the sound of cups and saucers and espresso and the hissing of the machine. And I'd say, welcome to Cafe Savage. No, not that. We had another soundbite. We just don't have it. I created it, but I don't do it anymore because I'll tell you the truth. This politics stuff, there's a limit to it. It's boring. Boring. Average person, boring. How many more debates can we have? How long can this go on? This is sadistic. The American political comedy is sadistic. We can't take it anymore. Trains are crashing. Planes are falling out of the sky. Boats are crashing on reefs in Miami because nobody can take this anymore. The tension is insane. But that's the thing is this. Here we are. We got to live with it another, 50 more days of this garbage. I may have a celebration the day after the election. Even if the worst imaginable thing happens, and let's say she wins, I may have a celebration anyway. Because I'll go on. I mean, the thing is, life will go on. Life is going to go on. I mean, America will go on. We'll survive her. Maybe. Maybe not. I'm not so sure. She is so demonic. Well, okay, let me not go. I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay on the light side. Hey, listen. Did anyone listen to this show yesterday? Yeah, raise the hands. You know what happened yesterday? I had a gentleman call from a Lakota tribe, which I think was one of the high points in my show for many years. I can talk about the New Jersey train wreck, but they're not giving us the name of the conductor. You know, first thing you want to know is who was driving it. We're not saying anything. We're not implying. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know who the conductor was, but it could be, you know, one of Obama's people, meaning the refugees that he loves so much. He brought in 12,500 Syrians. He's pushing them in down our throats. Now, of course, it's doubtful any of them could have been a conductor so fast, but given who's running the DHS, they could have taken someone from Syria who can't read English and put him on the Metro train to say it's racist to not let them drive a train. I don't know what went on. Do you? But the Lakota caller from the Indian tribe yesterday was the best caller I've had in a long time in terms of you as a listener, because it was very interesting for people out there. People want to be lifted up on a talk show. They want to have some ideas, right? I'd rather be playing some Blackfoot chanting right now. Do we have any Blackfoot chanting, Robert? I think we do. To me, it's beautiful music. To me, it's beautiful music. It's not something to be mocked. It's not a laugh line. But here we are, putting up with this one-dimensional reality show called The Election. When I'd rather not talk about it. My mind sometimes would rather be in some other places. I'll talk about it, though. I will tell you that after that debate, I'm going to say this. After the debate, I have this to say. Focusing on Bill Clinton's sex affairs is a disastrous mistake on the part of the Trump campaign and people in the media who are on Trump's side. What they're trying to say is that Hillary Clinton is responsible for Bill's cheating on her, which is stupid. Stupid. The stupidest thing you could blame a woman for, a husband's running around. That's number one. All that does is turn women against you, saying, well, you're blaming me for what he did? Then the idiots try to turn it around and say Hillary Clinton is an abused woman because of Bill Clinton. So how does that help to talk about this? It engenders a sympathy for her. Then they go further, the talkers and the writers, and they say that Hillary Clinton is abusing women by not having left her husband, which is stupid. Again, stupid. Why? What these people don't understand is that a large number of men in the United States of America run around behind their wives' backs. Whether you like hearing that or not, that is a reality of the world that we live in. And let me tell you something else. Most women stick with their husbands, even when they find out, for the sake of the marriage and the children. They live with it. And these one-dimensional analysts keep talking about it like it's going to help Trump. It is absurd and stupid to talk about Juanita Broderick over and over again. It makes my flesh crawl. It makes my toes curl up in my shoes. You know, I didn't even do it back when Bill Clinton was doing it. I thought it was such a juvenile topic to attack him on that basis. I didn't approve of it, but that was not really the issue. The issue were all the scandals. Those were the issues. China Gate, Cattle Gate, this gate, Gate Gate. There were gates on the gates in his day. We gates to you. So the fact is, one-dimensional analysis keeps talking about Juanita Broderick and the women. It won't help Trump. It'll help Hillary. And number two, and I shouldn't say this, but I'm in that kind of mood, given that I'm kind of brazen, and in some cases overly brazen, I'm going to say this. And I hope it's not offensive to the Trump people. This is in no way an attempt to be derogatory to Donald Trump's beautiful family. But he needs to get them off the stage. There are several reasons that the American people do not want to see perfect people, quote unquote, on the stage after every event. All the perfect blondes with the perfect faces. Number one, most Americans don't have perfect families. Number two, most families in America are struggling. This is not a reality show. And they're not going to look up to Donald Trump because he has a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. That is not working for him. I actually think it's working against him. Did you hear me? I believe Donald Trump, going forward, needs to stand up on his own merits. Again, this is no way a derogatory statement about his beautiful family. It is an attempt to advise the campaign to let him stand on his own merits. I personally think that his campaign is a little off track right now. I think that his new advisors are not advising him properly. I think that the debate itself, as we talked about, he went for the bait. They triggered him. I told you what the triggers were. Father, right? Inherited. He went for the bait like a bull goes for a red rag. That's all. Good. Now I've finished the politics of the day. We can move on. Not really. Normally I give out the number now and you call, you're angry. I mean, yesterday I did a great show on should blacks be paid reparations. The lines were lit for 3 straight hours. We covered it. No, they should not be paid for reparations. End of story. I covered it over and over and over. You want to talk about it? Not today. Please. Here's another one. Let me show you what stuff I found for you today. Obama says colon pimple neck should listen to the pain he may cause by sitting out the national anthem. So I read the article, and it's not what Obama said. Again, Obama, at a town hall meeting for Gold Star mothers, people who lost sons and daughters at war, he has the nerve to get up and attack the people there, and instead of saying colon pimple neck, has no right to do that because it's an insult to their memory. He goes on and says, oh, yeah, well, we should remember the this and the that about people in color and this. And again, people of color. Every minute, people of color, 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 people of color. Day and night, that's all that's on their mind. Day and night. There's nothing more. Nothing more. It doesn't end. When does this ever end? When does this ever end? This race baiting, when does it end? Here's another story not related. Al Sharpton's daughter admits prancing around on hurt ankle she wants $5 million for. Oh, yeah. The grifter doesn't fall far from the tree. If she sees Big Daddy Al made millions of dollars for being nothing but a con man shyster all of his life, a race baiter, a low-life hater, a man who can invent lies, steal from people, rob, and get away with it, why shouldn't the daughter do any different? So she says she was walking in Manhattan on Broome Street and Broadway on October 2nd, 2014, I'm quoting Dominique Sharpton, who said, I was walking to cross the street. She's highly educated. And my foot went into something and caused me to fall. These are documents obtained by the New York Post through a Freedom of Information request. They're still doing this. She said, I heard a snap, recalled Child Sharpton. I heard a snap. City lawyer Michelle Fox asked, were you able to attend the concert that night? This is during a legal deposition. This is Sharpton's daughter. She says she changed into a dress and some shoes, black flat shoes to go to the party. And then she finally went to the emergency room. She also griped during the three-hour deposition that she can no longer, quote, dive off a diving board, go skiing, or go run marathons. So when the city attorney asked the young Sharpton if she was a runner before, the young Sharpton said she wasn't. No, no, not necessarily. But if I, you know, if I needed to do it, and exercising or something like that, I was capable of it. Now I can't. Mm. Meanwhile, at the hospital, they said nothing was broken. You hear this? Wait a minute. It gets even better at the deposition. She found a shyster doctor, which they all, you know, people do this. This is standard in New York. You get the shyster lawyer, then you get the shyster doctor. And she goes to physical therapy. They put her on a therapeutic boot. They gave her a crutch to carry around. They gave her an injection for swelling in her ankle. You know, the standard. They put you on a machine in a chiropractic office in Jackson Heights. Some shady guy, a drug addict, who went to medical school and got thrown out. And he runs a podiatry clinic with injections and electric machines. And you go there, you know, for 3 seconds a day for 6 weeks. Meanwhile, the real hospital said nothing was broken on daughter Sharpton. Now, the injuries didn't stop child Sharpton from visiting her fiancé in Miami a dozen times a year. Dancing with her wonderful esteemed dad in New Orleans didn't stop her from working out, touring the country, and hiking a mountain in Bali with a broken foot and dancing in heels. Trying to explain away the heels, the younger Sharpton claimed on an oath that, quote, she could only wear them for a short period of time. All right, so she's suing the city for $5 million for going in a hole on Broome Street. You hear this? Now, why am I telling you this story? Because it's sickening. Her father did this on a macro scale his entire life. The most she can do is slip and falls. She's not smart enough like him, but she's using his lawyer, the disgraced lawyer of the family. You know the guy, the one with the apparatuses and stuff found in the penthouse with the maid and the... Okay. Where'd that case ever go, the alleged rape of the lawyer, the lawyer's rape of... What do I have on there? Trump's family has a role, but too prominent now, inspired by call from Lakota. You're right, people don't want to see family. All right, yeah, they are responding. I'm in one of my moods. It's as simple as that. I'm in one of the moods, which means you're in the mood, to not hear another word about Hillary Clinton or Trump. If another person reads another poll about Trump, if you hear one more thing about Hillary one more minute, your brain will fry. I can't, and I'm in the business. How much more can you take if I can't take it? And him, can he go away already? Can't we give him an early buyout? Can't Obama and Michelle please leave early? Can we just give him a buyout, a golden parachute? She went off the other day, Michelle, again on Donald Trump. Obama equates Christian terrorists with Muslim terrorists. You got to hear this one coming up. He did it at a Gold Star meeting. Again, won't say Islam and terrorism, and gives a 8-minute double talk on why you shouldn't do it, how it's a recruiting tool, which is all wrong, by the way, because even Muslims admit that they're wrong. Even Muslims are fed up with his rhetoric. Here's a headline. Writing for The Hill, self-described Muslim reformer Shireen Qudsi has called on Muslims to acknowledge the bloody beginnings of Islam as a path to purifying the faith. According to sacred Islamic sources themselves, Qudsi said the Prophet Muhammad was both peaceful and warmongering. She said at the time the Prophet would have been viewed as a violent terrorist to his opponents. She said denying or whitewashing these and other historical facts regarding Islam does nothing to help move forward. And she did this on a show on Sirius with one of their individuals, with Breitbart people. I'm going to read you more about this. So for Obama to be one of the propagandists for Islam is not only a disgrace, but it's shocking that no one challenges him. Well, few do anyway. Just shoot. Now, here's another little story. If the shoe fits, wear it, they say. Trump wanted to fire women who weren't pretty enough, say employees of his California golf club. I mean, my mouth fell open. Wait a minute. This is from the LA Times. Trump wanted to fire women who weren't pretty enough, say employees of his California golf club. Let me ask you something out there, in all fairness. If you were being served in a restaurant, would you rather be served by someone who looks like Trump's wife or by someone who looks like Hillary Clinton, who is approaching the looks of Stalin's housekeeper?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So thank you for making Scorched Earth a big book again on the New York Times list 2 weeks in a row. One of the few conservative books to have gained traction this season. Others have come and gone. They were there and they're bingo. So the book is on the list again. That means the libs will be reading the headline. That's right. Now you know why they hate me so much. Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Malbama. I think that says it all. And I also want to thank my loyal audiences across America. Again, we get ratings every month. I just got them in this morning. My number one and flagship station is WABC in New York, where this show remains number one in both major demos, 12 plus and 2554. Data doesn't lie. If my ratings slip, I live with it. If they go up, I'll tell you about it. Because if I don't, who will? If I'm not for myself, who will be? Right? If I'm only for myself, what am I? It's a great statement. Savage Nation with Michael Savage, Monday to Friday on ABC, is number one on WABC by a land mile to the next show. And I mean big. The next day part show, I can't give the numbers out, it's illegal, has 30% less audience than I do. And I have the number one competitor in New York. Never forget that. Never forget that I'm fighting with a very, very good broadcaster on a letter-deficient station across the street. And we virtually split audiences to a great extent, although I beat him every time for years now. This is an astonishing thing. If he wasn't there, I'd have double the numbers I have. But even with him there, I'm number one. So you say, well, why are you telling me this? Why? Because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. Where else would you hear it? You're going to read about it where? Nowhere. You're going to read it in page six? It's not about raping somebody in the Hamptons. So why would you read about it in page six? I wasn't accused of rape. I just told you that I'm number one on WABC and my book is a bestseller for 2 weeks in a row. That's not news for the New York Post. No. That's not news. If a 14-year-old falls in a pool and breaks a tooth, that's news.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Is Trump losing support after the debate? Who was the driver of the train wreck? Bill Clinton's sex affairs, a disaster to talk about. Scorched Earth makes it to New York Times week two, one of the few conservative books to have gained traction. Here's a few others. Leprosy has arrived in California schools. They're not saying who had the leprosy. You know, it's not an immigrant. It wouldn't be an immigrant from a country where leprosy is endemic. No. But it was. Also, there's a story I haven't gotten to yet. Crime is now coming to safe white suburbs because police have been disarmed. I'm going to give you an example of Oakland, California, because the Oakland PD has been disarmed by the scum in the liberal establishment and the vermin lawyers who sue the police at the drop of a hat. I'll name a few of them. The cops no longer can pull their guns. Every incident has to be reported as an incident. So the cops are, they've just been defanged. As a result, the gangs from Oakland are now going into the safe, liberal, white, suburban hills, and they're conducting home invasions and robberies. And I'll tell you about it. It's all a result of the disarming of the police by the very families who are being attacked in their safe, white, suburban houses in the hills above Oakland, California. And if you think it's limited there, you're wrong. When they were rioting a few weeks ago, remember that? They were screaming, we're going to come to your neighborhood? Because they know what's happened. Obama has deballed the police, defanged the police, ruined the police, made the police incapable of doing their job. As a result, now the criminals are out of control across the country. I haven't touched that yet. But hey, I want to do a digression. And in order to do it properly, I got to go to a caller. Frank on WABC Line 2, thank you for holding. Go ahead, Frank. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Michael? I really don't call into much radio shows, and I had to say yesterday when he had the Lakota Native on, that was one of the highlights of my whole day. It's the shows like your show. It's actually the only show that gets really into the heart of the matter of the people in this country. Instead of listening to all the rhetoric back and forth on other shows, you're the only show I actually listen to that goes above and beyond that. I like to hear the stories about your guests that come on because they're not the actual same puking guests that are on every other channel and every other show. And when you get the rabbis on, the Lakota Native, any of your little stories about Teddy, You know, I think that's what draws your audience.
I'll have to do more of it. It's because the election has so distracted me from reality. I don't do much of that anymore.
Absolutely.
It's rendering me the election's driving me crazy. I can't stand it. I cannot stand it. It's the bread and butter of radio, but at the end of the day, it will end, and then what? What are they going to be left with? Nothing on the plate. Frank, I'm sending you scorched earth, but I got to do something because Frank said that he loved the gentleman from the Lakota tribe yesterday. He's listening in South Dakota. Because the Native American was on this show, and I said to him, you know, my first published book was called Earth Medicine, 1972. And my last published book is called Scorched Earth. It's so from earth to earth. It's almost like a cycle. It's almost a spiritual journey that has come to a conclusion in some ways. And I hope it's not true, but I can read the tea leaves sometimes, okay? It's not like I've climbed the mountain and looked on the other side, but I'm just telling you that there's a sixth sense in me that earth to earth is it, baby. And it's a message from somewhere. And I don't want to go there, but I may have to be going there, whether I want to go there, one way or the other, spiritually or physically. I went and pulled up a copy of Earth Medicine. I'm going to read you the opening paragraphs. And I want you to see in your own mind whether I've changed or not. And remember, I wrote this in 1970, 71, published in 72. I will read you one paragraph of this book, Spiritual Hedonism and the Search for Healing Plants. I wrote this. By drinking from too many wells, each of good water, we may confuse our bodies and wind up in worse shape than when we began. To arrive at the well of herbs and take them on a casual basis is inappropriate, both medically and spiritually. We may wish to open up our inner channels through acupuncture, massage, movement, and through the proper use of diet, including herbs. But approaching our spiritual source, the well of all cures, through our physical senses must be fulfilled by a spiritual offering, not merely the experience of a fleeting pleasure. The Indian peoples who preceded us on this land were aware of this need to pay the great creator, and they utilized herbs as one part of a greater healing totality. To strip herbs from their origins without appreciating the greater context from which they derive may affect temporary adjustments in our health without yielding the more lasting cure. Now, it is true that D-tubocurarine, derived from the curare plant, will drastically relax your muscles, whether you be a Brazilian Indian, an Alaskan Eskimo, or a concrete dweller, without any rituals whatsoever. So, why bother studying various cultural beliefs surrounding herbal medicine when we can simply use those plants with known established therapeutic actions? Simply because we as spiritual physiological beings benefit by learning about healing rituals. By delving into the cultural beliefs of other peoples, we become more curious about our own. And by investigating our own ancestral health codes, we may come to see the interconnections between all peoples, a worthy unifying goal. And that's where I'm going to stop right here. Now, I'm reading it because I'm amazed that I haven't really changed my perspective very much. It hasn't really changed that much. It's still a rather, to use a pat phrase, a holistic view of politics that I applied, the same view that I used in approaching the alternative medical practices that I was involved in. So what I'm getting at is all the liberals like to lecture us that they have discovered something new about Pilates and about movement, about herbs, about acupuncture. They think that they discovered it. Well, they didn't discover it. There are people who preceded them who discovered the discoveries that preceded them. And I'm one of those people, I'm proud to say. And so although I'm a member in good standing, and they don't know it, of alternative medicine, they should understand that their view of politics is completely warped as a result of the brainwashing they've been subjected to most of their lives. And I'll end it right at that point. Now, let's say some younger person who's into alternative medicine just heard this and says, wait a minute, who is this guy? I heard he was this right-winger. How come he knows about medicine from plants? How did he write about that in 72, years before I was even born? How does he know? Well, maybe they'll find out that A, I'm not what they say I am, and B, maybe they can learn something from people that they think they don't know anything about, right? So that's the story. And I don't know if I want to do much of this, but I will play Obama equating Christian terrorists with Muslim terrorists once again to try to show you beyond a reasonable doubt, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that Barack Obama is probably, well, I don't even want to finish the sentence. His statements themselves speak for themselves. He is biased. He's a Christophobe. He's an Islamophile. That's pretty good. You haven't heard that recently on radio. Obama's an Islamophile. Say, is he Muslim? No, let's say he's an Islamophile. And he's a Christophobe. That's all you need to know. Here he is at a Gold Star town hall meeting on clip two.
If you had an organization that was going around killing and blowing people up and said, we're on the vanguard of Christianity.
But you don't.
As a Christian, I'm not going to let them claim my religion and
say
you're
killing for Christ. But you don't have Christians doing that.
I would say that's ridiculous. That's not what my religion stands for. Call these folks what they are, which is killers and terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that, A, we don't validate their claims that somehow they speak for Islam, because they don't.
They
and
don't.
And B, making sure that we do not make Muslims, who are well-meaning and are natural allies on this fight, because these groups are killing more Muslims than they're killing anybody else, make sure that they don't feel as if somehow this is some contest between the West and Islam.
Now, there's, of course, a grain of truth in what he says. But again, he's parsing the truth and lying. He makes it sound as though we're insulting all Muslims when we call out ISIS for what they are, Al-Qaeda for what they are. And he says we need Muslim allies, which, of course, we do. So why don't you ask your great leader why he doesn't give our Muslim allies, such as Jordan and Egypt, the weapons they need to destroy ISIS? Ask yourself why this wonderful, fair-minded con man, Barack Obama, tried to install the radical Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, along with John McCain, by the way. Do you remember that one? When, in fact, it was Muslims who were suffering under the Muslim Brotherhood. Ask him why he doesn't send weapons to Jordan, like the heavy bombs they needed. 2 years ago, they were begging for bunker-busting bombs to bust open the bunkers that ISIS was hiding in. He wouldn't send them weapons. So he's again lying about it, and again equating Christianity with Islam, which is very offensive, by the way. That's all. Okay, so look, I'm not going to ask you to respond. It's going to be a potpourri show today. It's a potpourri. It's Cafe Savage. I'm going to mix things up. It's going to be a little old, a little new, a little past, a little future. A little family. There's nothing to report in the family department that I can think of other than I didn't go to New York with my family because I wanted to be on the air Tuesday. And I can't say I'm glad I didn't go. I wish I did go because they sent me pictures last night of a Chinese restaurant they went to in Chinatown. I can't say I was jealous because the Chinese food in San Francisco is so superior to that of New York. But okay, it was fun anyway. I saw the energy in the restaurant, the little video. If you like to eat around screaming, yelling young people who everyone's a star behind their bar, go ahead, make my day. I prefer a quieter place. But the Chinese food is far better in San Francisco. Anyone who knows Chinese food knows that the best Chinese food in the world is in San Francisco, but you got to know where to go. Don't get me wrong. I'm not eating the mooey gooey Louie. I don't do that. And I don't eat in Gunan restaurants. I like Hunan, not Gunan. There's a lot of fake Hunan, which I call Gunan, where you get the brown gravy, but you can stick the fork in it and it walks around on the plate. No, I know the real places to go. And the fact is that I was jealous that I wasn't with my family, but not jealous that I didn't get the food that they were eating. But all right, they're on the way back, thank God. It's a quick trip in and out. I may meet them down in another state very soon, or I may not. I haven't been anywhere. I don't go anywhere. I don't like to travel. Why do people like to travel? I don't know. Even when I was 18, I hated it. Even when I was in New York, I mean, I didn't like New York that much. I hated the subway. Even as a young worker, I hated the subway. I hated schlepping in from Queens on a train. It was a jungle even then, a stinking jungle. You had to put your heart in your hand the whole ride. There were animals there already at that time. You had to watch your step every minute. You fear. They wait for a train zooming in. It sucks you down on a track. You're always afraid someone... Don't lie to me, Mr. Liberal. Yeah, you're really a brave guy. You know that you watch your back. You're afraid someone's going to push you on the tracks, even if you have a ponytail down to your ankle. And you wear a peace sign on your brain. You know you don't go near the edge of the platform when a train's coming in. You know what I'm saying? Even if you voted for Mao Zedong, you wouldn't stand near the edge of the platform in New York City today. And the subways, forget about it. They were always bad and dangerous. I go back to when the subways had straw seats. That's in 1801. No, I'm serious. I remember when they put in air-conditioned cars, it was already a change. It was nice. But it was still a toilet bowl. I used to have to commute from a little apartment out in Queens because I couldn't live in Manhattan. Is there anything new? I love all of the people. Oh, because of racism and capitalism, I can't live in the community I want to live in. Well, who could? That's how Queens was developed, and that Suffolk. That's how it happens. That's why your parents moved to Suffolk County, because they couldn't afford Manhattan. They also wanted to live in a nice apartment in Manhattan. They couldn't afford it. No, it happened because of you, because of capitalism, you schmuck.
If it wasn't for capitalism, you would have been born. You would have been born in a mud hut somewhere. So anyway, you know, you'd go in, and there it was. And I remember coming home. It was so horrible before I left New York that I was writing poetry. I was only writing poetry at the time and short stories. And I remember writing a poem. I had a Brooks Brothers raincoat that I bought. I saved up my money. I wanted to look like an advertising guy. You know, I wanted to look white for the day when I went in. I wanted them to think I was a white man. And so I dressed like Brooks Brothers, you know, the raincoat, the this and that, trying to be sartorially correct. And I come home, and I wrote a poem. When I come home at night, my raincoat, it smells of the subway, which is a good poem, by the way. I have it somewhere. I'll dig it up. I should auction it off and give the money away to America's Borders, Language, and Culture Foundation, which doesn't exist.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
All right, I got to talk about the train crash. The truth is, it's a huge story. Train barrels into a station, high speed. The conductor's alive. They won't identify him. He's 47 years old. Obviously, he's very, very beaten up. The train comes in so fast, it goes over the bumper, goes into the reception area where people wait for trains, goes into the air, takes out the ceiling of the train station, explosion of concrete dust, electrical wires. And listen to this. The train in New Jersey involved in the crash was going so fast, it lacked a new piece of technology called positive train control that would have automatically slowed it down as it entered the terminal. Oh, my God, the shyster lawyers, forget about it. There's so many Mercedes going through the Lincoln Tunnel right now to get over to Hoboken. The lawyers are pouring out of Brooklyn. There's a backup now. All New Jersey trains are supposed to be outfitted with PTC technology by December 31st, 2018. But not a single train had been updated, and no employees had been trained on it, a government report reveals. This is astounding. So all the shyster lawyers in New York, oh, my God, what years they're going to have now. This is the child going to the college. This is the second home in Florida now. Your careers are made. What a class action this is. Oh, yeah, they're lining up. I know I shouldn't say it, but you know the lineup is going in there. One dead, at least 70 wounded, and the conductor is alive. I didn't know that till this minute. I just found that he's alive, and there's a lot of smashed up people on stretchers. It's no joking matter, and who knows what was in his mind. Why did he do this? They're questioning the engineer over the high speed of the Hoboken train before it derailed. Crushed a woman to death, left 74 hospitalized, and Governor Christie insists the crash was a tragic accident. They're saying no terrorism. Okay. Let's assume it wasn't terrorism. They said it's not deliberate, not an act of terrorism. A witness at the scene says he saw the driver of the train slumped over in his cab. Well, he's alive, so maybe he had a heart attack. Let's just stop with 1 minute for conspiracy theories. It could be a heart attack. It's like the movie The French Connection, going back, where when the guy comes up to the conductor's car with the gun. Remember that scene? The conductor keels over right onto the wheel, and the train barrels full speed down the elevated line. It does happen. They die. So I don't know the answer to this. Why was he going so fast? We have an eyewitness calling from WABC working over there in the train station. If you were involved in that wreck and you want to talk about it from New York, if you're actually involved in it right now, we have several open lines. Robert, open lines up at 855-407-282, because I know many of my listeners are all over the metro area, and we will talk about it, okay? Is Trump losing support after the debate? Bill Clinton's sex affairs, a disaster to talk about them. Crime comes to safe white suburbs because police have been disarmed as a result of Obama. Yeah, other topics too.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Well, everyone has heard about the train crash in Hoboken, and we're talking about it because there's a couple of questions that need to be answered. Why was it speeding as it came into the station? I should say, fortunately, and it is fortunately, that the conductor or engineer is alive and critically injured, but he's alive, and they're trying to ask him what happened. It looks to me, on the face of it, like a heart attack, because people who saw it hit at the last minute say he was slumped over when it crashed into the barrier and blew the whole station up. That's one topic, and I'd be remiss to miss it. As I would be remiss not to talk about the train wreck of the election thing. And I'm saying, is Trump losing support after the debate? And I'm saying that he should get the family off the stage. It's enough already with the reality show. They're beautiful people, but it's actually turning a lot of marginal people off because they're jealous, number one, and they're not beautiful. They don't have beautiful families already. Let the candidate stand on his own. He's not trying out for anything right now, like a job. So then the Clinton sex affairs, I'm disgusted when I hear this talked about day and night. It's, first of all, it was bad news when it was old news. Second of all, I'm not dismissing it, don't get me wrong, but it isn't the key point of the campaign. I would say Islamofascism is a little bigger. I'd say the meltdown of our military, the meltdown of our police, the war on police, the gang wars against our police are bigger stories than Bill Clinton's affairs. That's what I like to talk about. Leprosy in California, immigration's a bigger story than Bill Clinton's peccadilloes. And we'll talk about all those topics. Hoboken, by the way, New Jersey. I never knew the origin of it, but I looked it up. It's Hobuk, Old Dutch for High Bluff. Hobuk, Old Dutch for High Bluff, and likely referring to Castle Point. Later used during the colonial era and later spelled as Hobuk, Hobuk. Hobokland and Hoboken. So that's it. It's from the Dutch. That's where the name Hoboken derives. The name Hoboken, chosen by Colonel John Stevens. Yeah, old white male. That's right. Now, they did exist. You know, they did. They did do an awful lot in this country before they were replaced by the geniuses that are running things now. The Lenape, later called Delaware Indian Tribe of Native America, I learned, referred to the area as the land of the tobacco pipe. Well, now it's the land of the crack pipe. I mean, they can change it a little bit from the land of the tobacco pipe. It's close. Just substitute something else for tobacco. Referring to the soapstone collected there to carve tobacco pipes. And uses a phrase that became hopachen. I can't pronounce the Dutch. I'm never good at Flemish. I once had a friend who was a genius. He went to Europe, and he came back, he went to the Van Gogh Museum. So I said, how was the Van Gogh Museum? He already became a snob. He said, it's not Van Gogh, it's Van Gogh. I said, okay, it's Van Gogh to you, it's Van Gogh to me. How are the paintings? Van Gogh. They have to come back already with the intonation already of the native. Van Gogh. To me, it's Van Gogh. It'll always be Van Gogh. That's how I learn. If a guy has a beard, it's called a Van Gogh, not a Van Gogh. Say, guy, look at that. He has a pointed little beard. It's a Van Gogh, not a Van Gogh. I have a 2006 Chevy van. Do I call it a Van Gogh van? Okay. What do you want to talk about? What will be? Okay. Old conductor calling, works in train station. Hillary, you're right. People don't want to see family. Bob, Vinny says I'm wrong about the Clinton infidelities. Vinny, go ahead. Why do you want to hear about Clinton's infidelities?
Well, I think, Mike, that there's more than meets the eye with this case. I think, I can see, you know, like you said earlier, that, you know, a lot of times the one infidelity in a marriage, but time after time, Bill has cheated on her, and I think anybody that would be normal thinking woman would probably leave the person, you know, after a certain time of infidelities. So I think the bottom line.
Now, hold it. Here's where you and I disagree. This is a very sensitive thing that I'm about to say. I would say that's not 100% true. There are many women who live with men like that who make decisions based upon, you're not going to believe it, they actually love the man despite his infidelities. That's number one. Not because of them, but in spite of them. And number two, they make a pact that's sort of a business pact. The marriage is more of a business than it is a romantic relationship. And so she decided, for the sake of the power that they were both seeking and the glory, she'd look the other way. I think that's as much an explanation as any, Vinny.
No, I agree. I agree with that, Michael. I think that she's definitely on her power trip here, and she'll forsake the embarrassment of having a cheating husband.
Yes, okay, but wait. But my issue is a little different, which is that when the commentators keep harping on Bill Clinton's thing with women, going back to when he was president, they're not doing Trump a favor if they want him elected. In fact, all it's doing is making women more sympathetic towards Hillary.
Yeah, but you know, she gave a real low blow the other night on Trump about the Miss Universe pageant.
100% right, but it just shows how low she is. And I don't think you have to answer lowness with lowness. I'm attacked day and night by people. If I respond to all of them, then I become like them. You know, there's a thing called the high road, isn't there? I mean, look the other way and go on your own road. I once met a rabbi. I got to tell you this. I was very unhappy in a certain job, and I complained to this guy that all the people around me were stupid. They were this, they were that. So he said, so you don't be stupid. So he said, you do what you do. Be who you are. That's what he tried to tell me. It's the same with the Clinton thing. Just because they brought up this this old whatever she is, the Miss Universe, the hooker, with the all of that stuff, it's such a low garbage that for the Trump campaign to take the bait again, they're doing just what I said the other day. They're being triggered by them and responding in the wrong way.
Well, you know, I hope, Michael, that the independents, they haven't made up their mind yet, see what you're saying, and not, you know...
I don't know. I don't even know who you're voting for. Whose side are you on, by the way?
Well, I want Trump. I mean, if Hillary wins, I think it's the end of this country as we know it.
100% right. By the way, I hear in your accent, tell me if I'm wrong, are you Chicago or Philly?
Syracuse.
So you guys in Syracuse have a bit of a Chicago drawl.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I also want to say Michael is a great caller yesterday from South Dakota. I'm a Reiki master myself.
I love Reiki. Reiki's an amazing spiritual path. It's awesome. How'd you learn that?
A lady down here. I'm in Tampa, and the lady down here introduced me to Reiki and brought me to a metaphysical church after my mom died, and I was just trying to get into a more of a spiritual. I was brought up as a Catholic, but I was trying to get more into the spiritual realm and see what the bigger overall picture was. And
are you Italian? Are you of Italian ancestry?
My father was Italian. He passed away last week. My mom is a Cheyenne Indian. Grew up on the Onondaga Reservation outside of Syracuse.
So you have an amazing... When you say Italian, Northern or Sicilian? Calabrese or what?
My dad is a Roman,
Okay. All right, so you now are going down your own path. Now you're into Reiki, which is totally unusual, right? But that's the America we're living in, the evolved America. People are... They're not throwing away their past. They're moving through their past into something new. And that's what you're doing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I said Reiki is very powerful. It's a Japanese form of healing that was brought to us a couple hundred years ago to America here and introduced. It started out in the Philippines.
Explain to the people just in a minute or less. What Reiki is, what do you do? If a patient comes to you with a complaint, what do you do for them? What do you do with them?
Well, we basically lay them on a table, and we survey the body.
Sir, this is a family show. We're not talking about what Bill Clinton did while in the White House. Can you please be a little less graphic?
we lay our hands over the body within 6 inches above the body, and we can pick up the energy where somebody might have an issue. For example, a bad back, a disc issue, maybe even some type of cancer.
I understand. So it's energy healing in plain English.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of doubting Thomas who are rationalists who will say it doesn't work. It's all mind over matter. I've heard this my whole life, and of course you can argue this day and night, you know, but I learned a long time ago when people say it's psychosomatic. Yeah, well, there may be a psychological element, but it's affecting the soma, the body. So what's the difference where it originates from? It means that there's an energy there that if you can tap into the energy, I mean, therapy is all about that. Psychotherapy is all about that. You're changing the energy of the mind, meaning changing the thoughts through observation. So Reiki is also a change of energy, isn't it? And by the way, if you look at allopathic medicine, meaning the drugs that we take, in essence, these drugs, these chemicals, these molecules are changing the energy inside our body is what they're doing. I mean, you could look at it from several different points of view. One is strictly pharmacological. The other is from an energy exchange. Well, I think this is a little too much for the average guy who's not really paying attention to this. So that's why you liked the Lakota caller yesterday. Can I send you Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Malbama? It's a bestseller 2 weeks in a row. I know you're going to love it, my friend, and I thank you very much for being such a loyal listener on the Savage Nation. I just got to move along. It's not like I want to hang up. There's so many people calling on the infidelities, on the train wreck, on Trump's family on the stage. I have to grab this call out of ABC in New York. He's in the train station where it happened. Robert on ABC Line 3. You're not there now, are you, Robert?
Yeah, I'm here.
In the train station, I mean.
Oh, no. I'm a free conductor on the line, on the same line as it happened.
Okay, what in your opinion happened here?
Well, there's something called positive train control, like you said, that's not installed yet, but it's very expensive to install, which is the reason why they don't do it, because they have to outfit the engines and the track. And as you can imagine, it's a lot of money. But inside the engine, they have something called cab signals. Now, what cab signals are, they tell you what the signals are before you get to it. And I'm pretty sure, because I've taken head-end passes inside of New Jersey Transit engines, that if they get to a certain speed, the train automatically stops. I mean, if they go over that speed, and the speed inside that station is 10 miles an hour.
So why didn't the automatic shut off work is what you're saying, right?
Well, every minute, if you're an engineer, every minute you have to tap a button called an alerter. And if you don't tap this button, the train will go into emergency.
Oh, so in other words, you think he was overriding the control?
No, I'm not going to speculate. I wasn't there, so I don't know. But
look, wait. You just said something interesting. I want to see if I understand you, Robert. I can be as rational as the next man when I have to be. Are you saying that even though they didn't have that track controller because they didn't install it, in the existing equipment, in the existing locomotives, in the existing track system, when you come near a station, the train automatically will slow down unless you override it by hitting a button in the car?
No, you have something called the signals are basically inside the engine, and in New Jersey Transit, the blocks are quarter, or what they call them blocks, you know, from signal to signal, are very short, and they're quarter mile long. You know, they're about a quarter mile long each, and basically, it tells you the speed you're supposed to be going, and the alerter is just it's like a lever, or on a New Jersey Transit engine, I'm not sure, it's a button you push, and if you don't push this button, the train will go into emergency and dump, and it'll stop. But
all right, so the engineer, it sounds to me like either he had collapsed, heart attack, right? Something like that.
It could be, but see, I think the cab signals, I'm not positive, I'm not a New Jersey Transit, I'm a freight conductor, but I'm pretty sure, you know, from riding with them enough times, that the cab signals, it's called an overspeed device, if you go over, say, the 10 miles an hour inside the station, it's supposed to cut the train off, you know, safety-wise.
But it didn't do that. So either the equipment failed or someone overrode it, right?
I couldn't tell you. Like I said, that's speculation. I don't know.
You're a very cautious man, Robert. I'm sending you a copy of my bestseller, Scorched Earth. Again, I think it's very important to talk about this for a little bit because it's such a huge story in New York. But you know what? I don't think there's many people who haven't seen the story yet today. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. This train wreck is being talked about all over the world. High-speed Hoboken train, before it derailed, crushed one woman to death, left 74 hospitalized. Governor Christie insists crash was a tragic accident. Of course, many people say it was terrorism. I don't think so. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So everyone's asking about the conductor of that train in Hoboken. He's alive. They're saying, you know, did he have a heart attack, a stroke? And as that caller just said, who's a train engineer himself in New Jersey on freight trains, there are automatic shutoffs that are installed. I mean, we're hearing that there were no such things installed in advance. But there are things in the engine itself that are installed that no one's talking about that we just learned on this show that is not even reported in the Daily News or in the New York Post. So again, I got distracted when I went on the Daily News for the train story. And I saw this one. Porn star Ron Jeremy allegedly struck a pedestrian in L.A. Well, the question is, you know, the driver again. What was he steering with? That could explain why he hit the person. He said he didn't see him. Porn legend made a quick left turn and hit the man as he was crossing the street. All right, whatever. He said he only nicked the victim. Look what happens to people. 63 years old. I mean, he's a porn star in the 80s, right? Look at him at 63. The gullet, he looks like McConnell. The chin gullet. Oh, what life does to you. Time and gravity, no matter who you are. That's the thing, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. He ought to get a little haircut there. I think I'm going to cut my hair after looking at this picture of him. I'm getting a short haircut now. No, old guys with long hair, I'm not sure about that. I got to think about January, how I want to present myself. I mean, on Alex Jones, I was on Newsmax. I look pretty good with the hat, but I don't know. It's going to be a side shot, a front shot. All right. KSFO, Dane, line five. Again, we're out of time. How does this, 30 seconds or less. Go ahead, Dane. What's on your mind?
No Trumps, no Wayne Newton, no Bo Derek in the front seats at the debates. We want to see common day.
Oh, Bo Derek. I like that. You're right. It is a Bo Derek-like appearance.
Yeah, they put these...
So you agree with me that the beautiful people are not helping him. They're actually turning ordinary people off.
Absolutely. Put real people there with genuine stories up front.
You mean like a wheelchair, an obese job? All right, that's what I'm saying. Beauty doesn't always sell in this country when everyone's disabled somehow.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is crazy, just crazy out there. It's the random, the murders, the beatings, the attacks. Society is melting down. The newspapers would have you believe things are better than ever, just in time for another Democrat. Now, I want to talk at some point today, before the show is over, about the new crime epidemic that is creeping into the once safe white suburbs. And it is happening directly as a result of Obama and his war against the police. And I'll give you an example or two during this hour about what is going on, for example, in my backyard here in Oakland, California, and the surrounding suburbs. The fact of the matter is that the Oakland Police Department, a very fine police department, has been sued so many times by shysters like Burris, this thing, Burris, the lawyer. Whenever the cops do their job, Burris gets the mobs out there to scream racism, then he sues the police department, and then laughs all the way to the bank. And so the cops have been intimidated. They're totally intimidated out there, and as a result, the gangs of Oakland know that the cops are not going to stop them. So they're getting brazen. They're going through the tunnel up into Walnut Creek, and from Walnut Creek they're going up into the hills, and they're conducting home invasions and robberies, and they're underreported. You see, the libs who hate the police, who don't buy guns, hate people with guns, are now screaming, oh, do something. Oh, do something about the crime. And the local newspaper, this local laughing stock, never reports these crimes, certainly never shows they won't report what the perps look like. Okay, let's put it to you that way. But there's a rash of epidemics, an epidemic rather, of home invasions. And I mean serious home invasions. I'll tell you one that a friend of mine just told me about up in the hills above Oakland. Gangsters from Oakland came up, broke into the house. The man gave up his wallet in the home invasion. The wife would not give up her purse. They beat her almost to death with a pistol. Okay? Not reported. Not known. But this is a result of liberal policies attacking the police. The police are now so intimidated to do their job because no matter what they do, they get sued by that wonderful, superb man with a law degree who uses a law degree like a weapon, as you well know. And as a result, they're afraid to do their job because no matter what they do, they're going to beat a loss. No matter how they play it, they're going to get screwed, right? And it's coming to the neighborhoods of all the libs. It's not a good thing. It's a terrible thing. And where it ends, nobody knows. It's the old story of the liberals screaming about racism until they get mugged by a minority. I'm talking about white liberals. And then all of a sudden, they don't know which way to turn. They don't know who to blame. So they usually become psycho, and then they blame the society for failing the minority, or we live in a racist society, that's what they did. A crazy, stupid, it reminds me of years ago, there was a terrible story. I forget the girl's name. Amy something. Amy Buell, I think. She went to South Africa. She was in a car with black friends. She was a good liberal there to help the people, in her mind. She was riding in a car with her friends, South African and black friends. A mob of insane people came up to the car, started to rock and roll it. They were pulling her out of the car. Her black friends were screaming, "Don't, she's good, she's one of us." They beat her to death. Amy Beale, I think, was her name. Well, horrible story. Horrible story. The parents had sympathy for the mob, saying that they were just expressing their frustration from all the years of racism. This is what I'm talking about. Liberalism is a mental disorder, and it'll pull us all over the cliff and kill all of us. Look at what 8 years have done to us in this country from this maniac in the White House. He got up yesterday at a Gold Star meeting trying to placate the military to get them to vote for the hag. I mean, for the candidate who's supposed to follow in his footsteps. And he attacks the candidates. He attacks the Gold Star moms, number one. Then he attacks Christianity, number two. This is what he's doing. Do we have a short version of the Gold Star mom to Obama? Let's start with clip one and see what we get. This went on just yesterday.
As a Gold Star mother, my son gave his life for acts of terrorism. Do you still believe that the acts of terrorism are done with a self-proclaimed Islamic religious motives? And if you do, why do you still refuse to use the term Islamic terrorist?
Well, first of all, I want to thank your son, obviously, for his service. And,
I spent a lot of
time with Gold Star Moms.
Sure.
It's always
very touching, very touching.
One of the most profound things we do in office. Yes, the truth of the matter is that this is an issue that has been sort of manufactured. Because there is no doubt, and I've said repeatedly, that where we see terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda or ISIL.
ISIS. You're not talking about an ice cream cone.
They have perverted distorted and tried to claim the mantle of Islam for an excuse for basically barbarism and death. These are people who kill children, kill Muslims, take sex slaves. There's no religious rationale.
They take Christian sex slaves, liar.
Would justify in any way any of the things that they do.
See, notice what he just did? How he parses the truth and he becomes an Islamist in that regard. Let us say an Islamophile. Always the Islamophile, the president, isn't he? Well, my friends, Muslim reformers know he's a liar. Muslim reformers know that ISIS is very serious when they say that they are the Islamic State, and that in fact they are practicing the original doctrine of Islam in their acts of terror. They even justify their acts of terror and rape and murder and pillage by citing their holy book. It's a shame that we have a president that is such a liar. It's sickening, by the way. And frankly, this is not Islamophobia. Hillary is even worse. Hillary is much worse than her, incidentally. In fact, there's a Muslim reformer who said Muhammad would have been viewed as a violent terrorist. She was interviewed. Her name is Shireen Qudsi. She called on Muslims to acknowledge the bloody beginnings of Islam as a path to purifying the faith. And she was on Sirius Radio today with a Breitbart individual. And she said President Obama is wrong for their refusal to utter the words Islamic terrorism. She said it's foolish and misguided. Mr. President, she responded rhetorically, you don't know who you're fighting because you don't know who or what you're dealing with. You don't see a monster for what it is because it tells you it isn't a monster. Or to carry the metaphor further, she said, because it tells you there's no such thing as monster, she added. She also came down hard on the obsession with stamping out the public's Islamophobia, quote-unquote, which would move Islam from a religion into a protected racial or biological context. Islam is a religion, she said, and thus must be open to criticism. The doctrines of Islam and its political system, she said, must be lampooned and mocked and derided, not because they are all deserving of such treatment, but because ideas that we are not permitted to attack are the ideas that control us. She went on and said, only by approaching the religion's tenets with a new spirit of inquiry can we ever disentangle the Islamic faith from the Islamism that is a metastasizing threat to human rights around the world. Now, she's a brave woman. Obviously, her life is in danger. And obviously, she's one of the great, great women of Islam right now. And again, yes, I will warn you. I'll warn you once again that unless you educate your relatives, your husband, your wife, your daughter, if you have an ignorance of history and you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. Islam has been at war with the world for 1,400 years. That is correct. Anyone who comes from a country that was dominated by Muslims knows that I am telling you 100% of the truth. And in my most important book yet, called Scorched Earth, I have a chapter, the first introduction is called It Can Happen Here. And it's about me being in an antique store in Beverly Hills. And I speak to the owner of the antique store. I didn't know him, and he didn't know me. And then I say to him, what happened to you that when you came over here from Iran? He says, well, what during Khomeini's reign of terror, the one that Jimmy Carter brought on by failing to stand up to that zealot? The man didn't believe that I knew all of that. He didn't know who I was. He seemed reluctant to answer at first, so I repeated, Ayatollah Khomeini did that to you? He finally said yes. And he went on, and he told me why he was arrested in Iran by the Muslims. And he was arrested by the tyrants using religion as a weapon, and they threw him in jail for 2 years. He said, I was only 20 years old. He said, do you know what my crime was when the Muslims arrested me? I said, what? What did you do? He said, at the time, Israelis were being killed by Palestinian murderers, suicide bombers. So the Israelis were trying to raise money for bomb-sniffing dogs. I sent $400 to Israel to help them train a bomb-sniffing dog. Then he continued, my second crime against the state of Iran was when the Muslim murderers took over was this. They shot the most successful Iranian Jewish businessman in Iran, killed him for no reason, and I went to retrieve his body. They charged me for the bullets, and then they tried me for crimes against the state. The two stated charges were I paid for a bomb-sniffing dog in Israel, and I retrieved the body of a traitor. They put me in a dark cell for 2 years. I came to America in 1979 with $300 in my pocket. I've been working 7 days a week to survive since then, and I don't complain about it. So I looked into this man's eyes, I write, unashamedly and openly admiring his unbroken spirit, and I said, sir, how many years had your family been in Iran? It caught him by surprise because it's an odd question for an Iranian, as any Persian or Iranian would understand. It's the kind of question you ask in America, where most families have been here only a few generations, except the Native Americans. He said, I don't know, about 2,500 years. If you think of the magnitude of the question and his answer, you can begin to understand what could happen to you in this country because of the community organizer Barack Hussein Obama and women like Hillary Rotten Clinton. If a family can be shattered and displaced after 2.5 millennia for a politically unsanctioned act, think of what can happen in a younger country with an equally rabid ideology of socio-political correctness. If you think it can't happen here, my friends, think again. Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. That's the intro to Scorched Earth. Proud to announce to you, it's the second week on the New York Times bestseller list. So it shows that my message is gaining traction, and again, I appeal to you directly. For those of you who have been sitting on the fence, please acquire a copy and give it to an undecided voter before it is too late. I don't have to give you the caveat of even though Trump is imperfect and this and that, to me, we know what she is. With him, I'll take a chance. And I'll be back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, here's another big story. It's an economic story. Let's say you're just a fiscal conservative. And you're not interested in politics as much, let's say, socially or things like that. There's a new headline on the Drudge Report that says it all. Deutsche Bank drama. Market angst builds. It's a huge story because Deutsche Bank seems to be on wobbly ground right now. And they're trying to find out if Angela Merkel's government will bail out the bank if they need be. This could set off an entire shockwave that will ricochet around the world. It's a huge, huge story. It's not as important, I realize, as Bill Clinton's sexual acts in the 1990s to most people who listen to talk radio. But it kind of has its own little place in things. You know, the economy, stupid. And so we should do some fact-checking on the debate and what people who think that they're conservatives really should be talking about. And frankly, to me, talking about Bill Clinton's peccadillos is of no interest whatsoever. Juanita Broderick, forget about it. I'm not interested. I just don't care about it. I think that we're going down a losing path when we go down that road, and we're meeting Hillary Clinton just where she wants us to meet her, which is in the gutter. And I think if Trump surrenders to this, these impulses being presented to him, he's going to lose, and lose enormously. If he can stick to jobs, if he can stick to the economy, if he can stick to immigration, if he can stick to the Muslim ban, if he can stick to what he's going to do as a businessman, he'll win, or he might win. If, on the other hand, he gets personal and goes in with this Broderick and Schmoderick and listens to his advisors, it's a done. It's over. It's over. It's that simple. Just one man's opinion. And we'll see what happens. Bill's women again. What a story that is. Who cares? Why does that matter? Why does that matter to you? Can you explain it to me? When we are at war with ISIS, when our economy is a complete fraud, when we have a lying president who equates Christianity with Islam, it's astounding to me that we get caught up in this again. Okay, that's my opinion. WABC Rich, line 9, 30 seconds, fire away.
Yeah, I'm so tired of the third world rhetoric of Obama and all the Democrat leaders. What you played earlier today about the, you know, equivocating Christianity with these Islamic savages.
It's disgusting. And he did this at a Gold Star town hall meeting to show you how he has no class whatsoever. And there's no limit to his evil.
No, and he to say that they're killing more Muslims, not in the United States. They seem to ask the victims, are you a Muslim? And if you are, then he doesn't shoot you. But if you're a Christian or a Jew or...
That's a very good point, right. The quote, gentleman from Turkey, just 2 weeks ago, the gentleman from Turkey, the Muslim, who went around the mall up there with the rifle, asked people if they were Muslims before he killed them. The gentleman. Somehow he knew what Islam stood for. Somehow he did it in the name of Islam. Where did they get this from? Let's say it's only a small percentage. Well, let's admit thank God it's a small percentage. If you have a world with 1 billion Muslims, and I know a few, thank God most of them are not psychotic throwbacks. So let's say it's a tiny 0.1% number, okay? But where do these 0.1 sub-morons get their ideas from that it's okay to blow up women and children, enslave Christian children, rape 8-year-old girls around the clock? Where do they get it from? They get it from their imams. They come over there in order to rape and to pillage. They're promised that, not the 30, the number of virgins in the next world. They're promised the virgins in this world. Okay, it's like a sex tour for them, to kill people and rape young girls. So, where do they get it from? Well, it's in their Bible. Their holy book says it. If I were lying to you right now, I would lose my job. I wouldn't be on the radio tomorrow. I would never say such a horrible thing if it was untrue. And it is time for all people in the world to come to recognize the danger we are in, so long as we put our head in the sand and say all religions are equal. They are not all equal. The holy books are the issue. Certainly not for you. You're not going to read that and go do it. But there are people who will read that and go do it, and they're doing it right here in America, and they're around us in this country. And Obama's bringing him in by the hundreds of thousands who are living in the 7th and 8th century, believing in the single sufficiency of a single book. All of the books, they would like to burn them. I hope they don't burn scorched earth, and I hope you rush out to buy one. How's that?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
And the topics are pretty diverse today. Is Trump losing support after the debate? The New Jersey train wreck? Who was the driver? Bill Clinton's sex affairs? A disaster to talk about him. Crime comes to safe white suburbs because police are being disarmed across America. Leprosy has arrived in California schools from immigrants. And Scorched Earth has made it to the New York Times for a second week. One of the few conservative books to have gained traction this season. I want to go to some of the sound that we missed, but before I do, pardon me. The biggest story of the week, the one I got the most responses to on my Facebook page, where you can see numbers people reached, is this. Cascade mall shooter captures suspect Turkish Muslim Arkan Seton. And my headline was, hey, he wasn't Hispanic, as reported by the Vermin. He's a Muslim. And then I get idiots saying that I'm Islamophobic. Dumb as dumb is, you cannot believe this. They don't know that there is such a thing as correct observation. They assume any time you make correct observation, you're some kind of phobe. Islam has been at war with the world for 1,400 years. Ask anyone who studied the issue. Now, you look at why you've got dolts like this writing things such as you're an Islamophobe if you say it. It's Obama, stupid. Here is a man, him and his wife have spent 8 years lying to the American people. 8 years conducting erratic and threatening campaigns against America. 8 years trafficking in prejudice, fears, and lies. 8 years lying to the American people about a war on minorities. 8 years smearing police across America with their erratic, threatening lies of prejudice and fears. 8 years of it. And as a result, police are now intimidated. And now, as the result of the police being intimidated, the gangsters are encouraged. And crime is flying off the roof in many communities around America. Don't believe the data, because the data is controlled by the government. Then you have the issue of the failed football player, who is a second stringer, who finally found some fame as a social activist with the knee job on the field. So instead of attacking the dumb football player for grandstanding, and this is during a Gold Star town hall where he's meeting the parents of dead soldiers, Obama, the erratic president, Obama, the liar, Obama, the man filled with such hatred and prejudice, gets up there and defends the football player in clip number 6. Listen to this.
I want Mr. Kaepernick and others who are on a knee, I want them to listen to the pain that that may cause somebody who, for example, had a spouse or a child who was killed in combat, and why it hurts them to see somebody not standing.
Very nice.
But I also want people to think about the pain that he may be expressing about somebody lost a loved one that they think was unfairly shot.
Again, the narrative, again, the comparison, against the moral equivalence. Again, the moral equivalence of a soldier who dies heroically in combat, defending our way of life, okay? And then the fake stories of all of the people being killed by evil white KKK police. Over and over again. Over and over again. And the liberals always telling you that it's a mark of our freedom and our Constitution to let them burn the flag, to let them spit in your face, to let them spit at a soldier. The same big lie I've heard since the Vietnam War. Obama is a classic anti-war communist agitator who any number of years ago, any cop in America, any FBI agent would have known from the get-go who he is. He is a watered-down H. Rap Brown. That's all he is. Or should I actually say, he's basically a glorified H.R.A.P. Brown. It's as though H.R.A.P. Brown became president. The same exact rhetoric from the 1960s. They found someone who's smoother than H.R.A.P. Brown, who looks better, with a better-looking family, and there he is. 8 years of the same lie, and he believes himself. That's how I see it. But if you want to talk about the election, that's what you'd rather talk about. The train wreck, the election, leprosy. I think you want to talk about the Bill Clinton sex affairs, which I say shouldn't be talked about. I don't know why people are obsessed with it. I truly don't understand it. WMAL, Tina, why do you think talking about Bill Clinton's sexual peccadilloes are important today?
Yes. I don't think it is important except for one reason. I think because he is her husband and will be back roaming the halls of the White House with a few concubines following him, I just think it's pertinent. Only because of that, just, I almost would not vote for her because of him. And when I look at him and see how old and decrepit he is, I just really feel like people feel the same way.
So you think that the Wolf Man should be exposed all over again?
Well, I just think it doesn't hurt. I don't think we should, you know, dig down deep and make that, you know, the number one topic, because like you said, there's so many other more important things. But I remember back to Romney when they drilled down on the women full of, you know, women, whatever they said.
Well, look, I mean, look, we all know that Bill Clinton was a predator. Everybody knows that. But to bring it up now only engenders more support for Hillary, in my opinion, because it makes her look like a victim.
Well, I don't think anybody looks at her as a victim. She is power hungry. That's why she's still there with him.
And you know what disturbs me the most about her, in addition to her policies, is her demeanor. Her demeanor gets me sick. That fake face, that plastic smile, that surgical smile, that pompous, arrogant look and voice of hers. How can we take 8 years of that?
I can't.
How can any woman respect her when they know who she? You know, women are very sharp at reading through other women. Sharper than most men are pretty big dummies when it comes to women. All they can do is look at their anatomy and they fall on their faces. But women look at another woman, they can read right through them. What do you as a woman see when you listen or see Hillary speak?
Oh my gosh, I almost can't watch it. I just sort of, you know, power through it. I cannot stand her for so many reasons. I don't even.
No, but I'm saying woman to woman, forget her policies. What do you see when you watch her speak?
I see a fake. I think her smile, that cackly laugh, everything about her. I know enough to know that she's just crooked, and I feel like she's evil. I feel like she is, a backstabber. There's nothing that I could see to make me want to be friends with her or anything else.
All right, you get a copy of Scorched Earth. Now, in a book I did in 06, and it's, you know, it's, why am I reading it? Because it was funny. The Political Zoo was published in 2006. And I do cover Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton in there. They're both in there, back to back. And I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to tell you who we call. I had a caricature of Bill Clinton as the Wolf Man. He was known to me as, it was a book that was a parody, and it was done in Bill Clinton Fondlium Ungropium. I gave him a Latin binomial, for those of you who understand what I'm saying. And we called him the celebrated Arkansas werewolf. And we said he's so entirely distinct that there is nothing or no one quite like it in captivity or in the wild. Wolf Boy, as he is sometimes called, given his failure to grow up and become an adult of any species, is native to the southeastern United States, but now roams the world in a pack of one. His mother, Virginia, was a human. That much is known. His lupine nature he derives from his father, about whom nothing is known. Wolf Boy has received international attention as the most outsized, most outrageous, most entertaining animal in the zoo. His indiscreet and indiscriminate mating rituals and borderline criminal activities have captivated the media and the masses for years. Do not be fooled, though, for this semi-lupine wonder is one of the zoo's most dangerous inhabitants. Wolf Boy was put on the endangered species list after Waco, after Whitewater, after Trooper Gate, after Travel Gate, after File Gate, after China Gate, after Monica and his subsequent impeachment, after Pardon Gate and the pillaging of the White House. But seemingly not even a cross held before his very eyes can stop his marauding, Wolf Boy is occasionally seen stalking the streets of Harlem or in the New York countryside, or reportedly in Ireland, whose clueless population has only seen the boy part and not the wolf. He tries to keep a full hemisphere away from the one creature of whom he is justly petrified, the limber leopard of Chappaqua, with whom he once mated. All right, let me just flip to Hillary Clinton. I got a few minutes here. Hillary Clinton, Peronista manipulatus. Okay, Hillary Clinton, Peronista manipulatus, the limber leopard, or an agile and extremely dangerous member of the cat family, is native to the Great Lakes, but adapted surprisingly well to the remote areas along Arkansas's Whitewater River. As the queen of her species, this thick-legged predator is known for her domination of the pack, and her one advantage is being able to change her spots at will. This sturdy animal is also known for the unusual processes she uses for selecting a breeding partner. Although she may appear asexual, this predatory beast has a keen eye for the alpha male of her species, or at least one that she could hector into seeming like an alpha male. Although the limber leopard tolerates the alpha's sexual waywardness, she can become entirely vicious towards any female of the species that threatens the alpha status of her mate. This was written then? This is an interesting thing. I won't go into more of it. I think it's enough. It's a little taste of the spot-changing senator. And nothing is, since she's serving more sides than a short order cook. George Clooney is in there, Blando Viscaris. I had funny names for these people. Some of them have been dropped off the, they're not around anymore. Kofi Annan, no one knows him. Alec Baldwin's in there, Harry Belafonte, Bono, Barbara Boxer, George Bush. See, it was an equal, I was sarcastic about people on both sides of the aisle. Maureen Dowd's in there, his book failed. Dianne Feinstein. By the way, Dianne Feinstein, she is the chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, yet she's not been heard from for months. Is she comatose? How could the chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee not be heard from during all these terror attacks? Where is this woman? Well, let's look into the background of Dianne Feinstein in the political zoo. Oh, I can see why Giuliani never returns my calls. He's in there, too. New Yorker pseudo-conservatives. Oh, God. Ah, darn. And I thought he wanted to have a meal with me at Rayal's. Huh. There, that goes down the... Maureen Dowd, Battleaxia fossilis. This hot, flashing, red-headed editorial grinder for the gray lady, you know her, Maureen Dowd. A book came out 2 weeks ago when mine came out. She was on Blondie's show for 2 days and running. It just shows you what power she doesn't have. It just shows you what power Megyn Kelly lost, that she couldn't even launch her book into the New York Times bestsellers. Megyn, you know, is another one that I don't like. I'll be very honest with you. She disgusts me the same way that Hillary Clinton does. Megyn Kelly has this pompous look to her that turns me off. I don't like her look. Battleaxia? I don't have her in here. I don't think she wasn't around at that time. She was still a soccer mom. But we go past Maureen Dowd. We get Dianne Feinstein, the Frisco Red Heron, and her Latin... Her binomial is Mao Zedongus. Dianne Feinstein. The Frisco Red Heron is a standout bird known for its heroic migration. The famed long flight from the Bay Area to the Chinese homeland during the annual August congressional recess to meet up with its mate. In China, it is known as the hidden dragon heron and is kept as a pet by many higher-up Chinese Communist Party officials. The red heron is particularly possessive about its privacy and property and can regularly be spotted clucking for its collectivist causes, although it readily invades all of the birds' habitats as it feels necessity warrants. And I coined the phrase Gulfstream liberals, and it's in that book, right? First time seen in print, page 138. Gulfstream liberals have their own congressional caucus headed by one of their own, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California. As one of the wealthiest birds in this well-appointed aviary, the red heron sits on her gilded political perch, preaching to the lowly, unwashed masses of American mammals, promising to make our meager and meaningless lives better and safer. And aren't we all grateful? Well, then we go into Mr. Blum's China portfolio, which at the time in 06, that's the husband. I wrote this, and if I was wrong, I would have been sued. Since Feinstein entered the Senate, Blum's China portfolio has grown from $500,000 to $2 to $3 billion today. What a coincidence. Maybe he took Hillary's class in cattle futures trading. So, yes, my friends, yes, corruption has been with us a very long time. but has reached a level today under Barry that we have never seen in American history. Not only are we fiscally at a level of corruption we have never seen, but socially corrupt, legally corrupt. On every level, Obama has corrupted the nation. You know why? Because a fish rots from the head down.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Now, the narrative is that the police are racist and poor people of color are being targeted and picked on. You know it's a big lie. That's number one. The streets have become so unsafe in America's cities and towns. I told you that crime is now spilling over into the hills above Oakland because the Oakland PD has been neutralized, or neutered rather, as a result of the liberal policies, not only of the mayor, but of the entire nation. And so the safe white liberals who hate guns and hate the police are now being invaded in their own home, and they don't know who to turn to or who to blame. Here's another one, San Francisco. It was once a beautiful city. It's becoming a cesspool of crime. Here's a new story. Two Chinese tourists mugged near famed section of Lombard Street. Just happened. Who did it? Oh, we don't know. We don't know. Probably two old Irish nuns in wheelchairs, the type the TSA pulled over. Because they never show you the perps or describe them. Unless they look like Timothy McVeigh. Two Chinese tourists mugged near famed section of Lombard Street in San Francisco. So the old phrase, I'm coming to San Francisco with a flower in my hair, should be changed to a new song that I don't think Tony Bennett would sing, which is, I'm coming to San Francisco with a Smith & Wesson in my pocket, because that might keep you safer. And so it just happened again. A pair of robbers, no description, of course, threatened to shoot two tourists from China, forced them to hand over their cameras in a broad daylight mugging on San Francisco's famed Lombard Street, the crookedest street in the crookedest city in the world. The victims, a 36-year-old man, a 37-year-old woman, Greenwich and Leavenworth, blah, blah, blah. In the middle of the day, no tourist was shot. And, of course, nothing was done to them because there's no description. This is going on and on in that area right now. The police know it, and they can't do anything about it. All a result of progressive insanity. All of it a result of the policies that are destroying America from the ground up. Read all about it in your one-stop shop. I won't even mention Scorched Earth.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
So, thank you for making Scorched Earth a big book again on the New York Times list 2 weeks in a row. One of the few conservative books to have gained traction this season. Others have come and gone. They were there, they're bingo. So the book is on the list again. That means the libs will be reading the headline. That's right. Now you know why they hate me so much. Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Malbama. I think that says it all. And I also want to thank my loyal audiences across America. Again, we get ratings every month. I just got them in this morning. My number one and flagship station is WABC in New York, where this show remains number one in both major demos, 12 plus and 25-54. Data doesn't lie. If my ratings slip, I live with it. If they go up, I'll tell you about it. Because if I don't, who will? If I'm not for myself, who will be? Right? If I'm only for myself, what am I? It's a great statement. Savage Nation with Michael Savage, Monday to Friday on ABC, is number one on WABC by a land mile to the next show. And I mean big. And I have the number one competitor in New York. Never forget that. Never forget that I'm fighting with a very, very good broadcaster on a... We virtually split audiences to a great extent. This is an astonishing thing. If he wasn't there, I'd have double the numbers I have. But even with him there, I'm number one. So you say, well, why are you telling me this? Why? Because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. Where else would you hear it? You're going to read about it where? Nowhere. Let me show you what stuff I found for you today. Obama says colon pimple neck should listen to the pain he may cause by sitting out the national anthem. So I read the article, and it's not what Obama said. Again, Obama, at a town hall meeting for Gold Star mothers, people who lost sons and daughters at war, he has the nerve to get up and attack the people there, and instead of saying, colon pimple neck, has no right to do that because it's an insult to their memory. He goes on and says, oh, yeah, well, we should remember the this and the that about people in color and this and again, people of color. Every minute. Nothing more. It doesn't end. When does this ever end? When does this ever end? This race baiting, when does it end? Here's another story not related. Al Sharpton's daughter admits prancing around on hurt ankle she wants $5 million for. Oh, yeah. The grifter doesn't fall far from the tree. If she sees Big Daddy Al made millions of dollars for being nothing but a con man shyster all of his life, a race baiter, a low-life hater, a man who can invent lies, steal from people, rob, and get away with it, why shouldn't the daughter do any different? So she says she was walking in Manhattan on Broome Street and Broadway on October 2nd, 2014. I'm quoting Dominique Sharpton, who said, I was walking to cross the street. She's highly educated. And my foot went into something and caused me to fall. These are documents obtained by the New York Post through a Freedom of Information request. They're still doing this. She said, I heard a snap, recalled Child Sharpton. I heard a snap. City lawyer Michelle Fox asked, were you able to attend the concert that night? Are you listening? This is during a legal deposition. Are you right? This is Sharpton's daughter. She says she changed into a dress and some shoes, black flat shoes, to go to the party. And then she finally went to the emergency room. She also griped during the three-hour deposition that she can no longer, quote, dive off a diving board, go skiing, or go run marathons. So when the city attorney asked the young Sharpton if she was a runner before, the young Sharpton said she wasn't. No, not necessarily. But if I needed to do it, and exercising or something like that, I was capable of it. Now I can't. Meanwhile, at the hospital, they said nothing was broken. You hear this? Wait a minute. It gets even better at the deposition. She found a shyster doctor, which they all, you know, people do this. This is standard in New York. You get the shyster lawyer, then you get the shyster doctor. And she goes to physical therapy. They put her on a therapeutic boot. They gave her a crutch to carry around. They gave her an injection for swelling in her ankle. You know, the standard. Meanwhile, the real hospital said nothing was broken on daughter Sharpton. Now, the injuries didn't stop Child Sharpton from visiting her fiancé in Miami a dozen times a year. Dancing with her wonderful esteemed dad in New Orleans didn't stop her from working out, touring the country, and hiking a mountain in Bali with a broken foot and dancing in heels. Trying to explain away the heels, the younger Sharpton claimed on an oath that, quote, she could only wear them for a short period of time. All right, so she's suing the city for $5 million for going in a hole on Broome Street. You hear this? Now, why am I telling you this story? Because it's sickening. Her father did this on a macro scale his entire life. The most she can do is slip and falls. She's not smart enough like him, but she's using his lawyer, the disgraced lawyer of the family. I'm in one of the moods to not hear another word about Hillary Clinton or Trump. If another person reads another poll about Trump, if you hear one more thing about Hillary one more minute, your brain will fry. And him? Can't he go away already? Can't we give him an early buyout? Can Obama and Michelle please leave early? Can we just give him a buyout, a golden parachute? She went off the other day, Michelle, again on Donald Trump. Obama equates Christian terrorists with Muslim terrorists. He did it at a Gold Star meeting. Again, won't say Islam and terrorism, and gives a 3-minute, 8-minute double talk on why you shouldn't do it, how it's a recruiting tool, which is all wrong, by the way, because even Muslims admit that they're wrong. Even Muslims are fed up with his rhetoric. Hey, here's a headline. Writing for The Hill, self-described Muslim reformer Shireen Qudsi has called on Muslims to acknowledge the bloody beginnings of Islam as a path to purifying the faith. According to sacred Islamic sources themselves, Qudsi said, the Prophet Muhammad was both peaceful and warmongering. She said at the time, the Prophet would have been viewed as a violent terrorist to his opponents. She said, denying or whitewashing these and other historical facts regarding Islam does nothing to help move forward. And she did this on a show on Sirius with one of their individuals, with Breitbart people. I'm going to read you more about this. So for Obama to be one of the propagandists for Islam is not only a disgrace, but it's shocking that no one challenges him. Well, few do anyway. Here's a few others. Leprosy has arrived in California schools. They're not saying who had the leprosy. You know, it's not an immigrant. wouldn't be an immigrant from a country where leprosy is endemic. No. But it was. Also, there's a story. Crime is now coming to safe white suburbs because police have been disarmed. I'm going to give you an example of Oakland, California, because the Oakland PD has been disarmed by the scum in the liberal establishment and the vermin lawyers who sue the police at the drop of a hat. I'll name a few of them. The cops no longer can pull their guns. Every incident has to be reported as an incident. So the cops are, they've just been defanged. As a result, the gangs from Oakland are now going into the safe, liberal, white, suburban hills, and they're conducting home invasions and robberies. And I'll tell you about it. It's all a result of the disarming of the police by the very families that were being attacked in their safe, white, suburban houses in the hills above Oakland, California. And if you think it's limited there, you're wrong. When they were rioting a few weeks ago, remember that? They were screaming, we're going to come to your neighborhood? Because they know what's happened. Obama has deballed the police, defanged the police, ruined the police, made the police incapable of doing their job. As a result, now the criminals are out of control across the country. But I got to do something. Because the Native American was on this show, gentleman from the Lakota tribe yesterday, was listening in South Dakota, and I said to him, you know, my first published book was called Earth Medicine, 1972. And my last published book is called Scorched Earth. It's so from earth to earth. It's almost like a cycle. It's almost a spiritual journey that has come to a conclusion in some ways. I hope it's not true, but I can read the tea leaves sometimes, okay? It's not like I've climbed the mountain and looked on the other side, but I'm just telling you that there's a sixth sense in me that earth to earth is it, baby. And it's a message from somewhere. And I don't want to go there, but I may have to be going there, whether I want to go there, one way or the other, spiritually or physically. I went and pulled up a copy of Earth Medicine. I'm going to read you the opening paragraphs. And I want you to see in your own mind whether I've changed or not. And remember, I wrote this in 1970, 71, published in 72. I will read you one paragraph of this book, Spiritual Hedonism and the Search for Healing Plants. I wrote this, by drinking from too many wells, each of good water, we may confuse our bodies and wind up in worse shape than when we began. To arrive at the well of herbs and take them on a casual basis is inappropriate, both medically and spiritually. We may wish to open up our inner channels through acupuncture, massage, movement, and through the proper use of diet, including herbs. But approaching our spiritual source, the well of all cures, through our physical senses must be fulfilled by a spiritual offering, not merely the experience of a fleeting pleasure. The Indian peoples who preceded us on this land were aware of this need to pay the great creator, and they utilized herbs as one part of a greater healing totality. To strip herbs from their origins without appreciating the greater context from which they derive may affect temporary adjustments in our health without yielding the more lasting cure. Now, it is true that D-tubocurarine, derived from the curare plant, will drastically relax your muscles, whether you be a Brazilian Indian, an Alaskan Eskimo, or a concrete dweller, without any rituals whatsoever. So, why bother studying various cultural beliefs surrounding herbal medicine when we can simply use those plants with known established therapeutic actions? Simply because we as spiritual physiological beings benefit by learning about healing rituals. By delving into the cultural beliefs of other peoples, we become more curious about our own. And by investigating our own ancestral health codes, we may come to see the interconnections between all peoples, a worthy unifying goal. And that's why I'm going to stop right here. Now, I'm reading it because I'm amazed that I haven't really changed my perspective very much. It hasn't really changed that much. It's still a rather, to use a pat phrase, a holistic view of politics that I applied, the same view that I used in approaching the alternative medical practices that I was involved in. So what I'm getting at is all the liberals like to lecture us that they have discovered something new about Pilates and about movement, about herbs, about acupuncture. They think that they discovered it. Well, they didn't discover it. There are people who preceded them who discovered the discoveries that preceded them. And I'm one of those people, I'm proud to say. And so although I'm a member in good standing, and they don't know it, of alternative medicine, they should understand that their view of politics is completely warped as a result of the brainwashing they've been subjected to most of their lives. And I'll end it right at that point. Now, let's say some younger person who's into alternative medicine just heard this and says, wait a minute, who is this guy? I heard he was this right-winger. How come he knows about medicine from plants? How did he write about that in 72? years before I was even born. How does he know? Well, maybe they'll find out that A, I'm not what they say I am, and B, maybe they can learn something from people that they think they don't know anything about, right? So that's the story. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, everyone has heard about the train crash in Hoboken, and we're talking about it because there's a couple of questions that need to be answered. Why was it speeding as it came into the station? I should say fortunately, and it is fortunately, that the conductor or engineer is alive and critically injured, but he's alive, and they're trying to ask him what happened. It looks to me on the face of it like a heart attack, because people who saw it hit at the last minute say he was slumped over when it crashed into the barrier and blew the whole station up. That's one topic, and I'd be remiss to miss it, as I would be remiss not to talk about the train wreck of the election thing. And I'm saying, is Trump losing support after the debate? And I'm saying that he should get the family off the stage. It's enough already with the reality show. They're beautiful people, but it's actually turning a lot of marginal people off because they're jealous, number one, and they're not beautiful. They don't have beautiful families already. Let the candidate stand on his own. He's not trying out for anything right now, like a job. So then the Clinton sex affairs, I'm disgusted when I hear this talked about day and night. It's, first of all, it was bad news when it was old news. Second of all, I'm not dismissing it, don't get me wrong, but isn't the key point of the campaign, I would say Islamofascism is a little bigger. I'd say the meltdown of our military, the meltdown of our police, the war on police, the gang wars against our police are bigger stories than Bill Clinton's affairs. That's what I like to talk about. Leprosy in California, immigration's a bigger story than Bill Clinton's peccadilloes. It's Hoboken, by the way, New Jersey. I never knew the origin of it, but I looked it up. It's Hobuk, Old Dutch for High Bluff. Hobuk, Old Dutch for High Bluff, and likely referring to Castle Point. Later used during the colonial era and later spelled as Hobokland and Hoboken. So that's it from the Dutch. That's where the name Hoboken derives. The name Hoboken, chosen by Colonel John Stevens. Yeah, old white male, that's right. Now, they did exist, you know, they did do an awful lot in this country before they were replaced by the geniuses that are running things now. The Lenape, later called Delaware Indian Tribe of Native America, I learned, referred to the area as the land of the tobacco pipe. Well, now it's the land of the crack pipe. I mean, they can change it a little bit from the land of the tobacco pipe, it's close. Just substitute something else for tobacco. Referring to the soapstone collected there to carve tobacco pipes. And uses a phrase that became Hoboken. I can't pronounce the Dutch. I'm never good at Flemish. And I don't know if I want to do much of this, but I will play Obama equating Christian terrorists with Muslim terrorists once again to try to show you beyond a reasonable doubt, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that Barack Obama is probably, well, I don't even want to finish the sentence. His statements themselves speak for themselves. He is biased. He's a Christophobe. He's an Islamophile. That's pretty good. You haven't heard that recently on radio. Obama's an Islamophile. Say, is he a Muslim? No, let's say he's an Islamophile and he's a Christophobe. That's all you need to know. Here he is at a Gold Star town hall meeting on clip two.
If you had an organization that was going around killing and blowing people up and said, we're on the vanguard of Christianity. Well, I'm not.
But you don't.
I'm not going to let them claim my religion and say you're killing for
but
Christ.
But you don't have Christians doing that.
That's ridiculous. That's not what my religion stands for. Call these folks what they are, which is killers and terrorists. To make sure that, A, we don't validate their claims that somehow they speak for Islam because they don't. And B, making sure that we do not make Muslims, who are well-meaning and are natural allies on this fight, because these groups are killing more Muslims than they're killing anybody else, make sure that they don't feel as if somehow this is some contest between the West and Islam.
Now, there's, of course, a grain of truth in what he says. But again, he's parsing the truth and lying. He makes it sound as though we're insulting all Muslims when we call out ISIS for what they are, Al-Qaeda for what they are. And he says we need Muslim allies, which of course we do. So why don't you ask your great leader why he doesn't give our Muslim allies, such as Jordan and Egypt, the weapons they need to destroy ISIS?